Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister says the security service should be strengthened. Court proceedings have restarted in the case involving alleged spying on a former Prime Minister's wife, and the crown has fallen to new lows against the euro. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has suggested that the domestic security service be strengthened to counter the threat of terrorism. Sobotka said that the competence of the Security Information Service, BIS, had been undermined by spending cuts and that it was now time to reverse them. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec told Czech television that it could take a decade before the process could be completed and results would start to show. In related news, Sobotka said on Monday that the Czech Republic and France should boost their cooperation to counter the threat of terrorism. Sobotka was speaking after visiting the French embassy in Prague and signing the book of condolences for the victims of the attack on the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo and the following attacks in and around Paris. Sobotka said he was sure increased security for citizens could be offered without limiting their freedom of movement and other basic liberties. Court proceedings restarted Monday in the case of the head of former Prime Minister Petr Nečas's private office, Jana Nagyová, and three members of the Military Intelligence Service. Members of the public were cleared from the courtroom for 2 hours while secret evidence was heard. The four are accused of abusing public office when the intelligence service was allegedly used to spy on Nečas's former wife. The scandal surrounding the case caused the fall of Nečas's coalition government in July 2012. Nagyová later went on to marry Nečas. Intelligence officers maintained there was no abuse of office and they were instructed to keep an eye on suspect associates of the Prime Minister's former wife. The Czech crown continued to weaken in trading on Monday, at one time hitting 28.4 crowns to the euro. The crown already slipped to a 6-year low against the euro on Friday, following the announcement of Czech inflation figures for December. The annual inflation rate fell to 0.1% from November's 0.6%. This has fuelled fears that the Czech National Bank could set a new lower target for the euro exchange rate for the crown. Travel agents have already warned that foreign holidays look like being more expensive for Czechs. The second biggest power company in the Czech Republic, Energetický a Průmyslový Holding, has announced the purchase of 7 Italian power stations with a total capacity of 4,500 megawatts from German company E.ON. The buyers comprise 6 gas-fired plants and 1 coal-fired plant in Sardinia. EPH bosses have targeted the Italian energy market because electricity prices are much higher than the European average. Late last year, EPH announced the purchase of a British coal-fired power plant, its first on the island. More than 500,000 more people visited the castles, stately homes and other sites administered by the National Heritage Institute in 2014 compared with a year earlier. Visitor numbers in 2014 totaled around 4.8 million, up by around 575,000 compared with the previous 12 months. The most visited site was the Lednice complex in South Moravia, followed by Český Krumlov and Hluboká nad Vltavou. And finally, in sports news, Sparta Prague have named Albanian international midfielder Herovlind Shala as the replacement for Josef Hushbauer, who was sold to Italian club Cagliari. The 22-year-old Albanian comes from Norwegian club Odds BK, where he made a name for himself as a prolific scorer from set pieces. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, in the light of last week's events in Paris, do the Czech authorities see a potential security threat in the Czech Muslim community? This being Monday, we'll bring you the sports news, and in our in-depth interview, one-on-one, we speak to Jan Valeška, who headed Radio Prague right after the fall of communism, and who says the station adjusted more quickly than Czechoslovakia. Radio as a whole.
I think that the Czech radio, the internal service, was still adjusting very, very slowly. We had freedom.
All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Following last week's terrorist attacks in Paris, the Czech authorities are not ruling out the possibility of the radicalization of individual Muslims in this country. However, says Minister of the Interior, the Czech Muslim community as a whole is unusual in not having a radical component, having arisen in very different circumstances than the communities in bigger European states. Ian Willoughby reports.
In the wake of last week's horrific attacks in Paris, questions have been asked about the possibility of similar terrorism occurring in the Czech Republic. The Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec, says the intelligence services are keeping a close eye on the situation. But he told Czech television on Sunday, Czechs have no particular cause for concern.
I would like to reassure the Czech public once again that we have no information to suggest any genuine threat of danger in our country at the present time. But we're not resting on our laurels. We're monitoring these matters very carefully. We're in contact with partners not only in Europe, but also the United States and Arab countries. We assess every person who comes to the Czech Republic, every danger.
Speaking after attending Sunday's huge unity march in Paris, the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said the country's intelligence service, the BIS, would be given more resources to keep tabs on suspicious individuals. But the need to do so is unlikely to ever be as acute as in France or other Western European states. That's because, as Interior Minister Chovanec says, the Czech Republic's small Muslim community has grown in large part out of the country's communist past.
We're in a unique situation in that the Czech Muslim community is markedly peaceful. It emerged in different conditions than in Germany or France. It emerged under the previous regime when, with the approval of that regime, people moved here from Arab states with which the regime had a relatively positive relationship. There aren't any radicals, no radical wing has emerged. But you can't rule out individuals in any community wanting to become involved in illegal activities.
Many Czech Muslims are indeed of Arab origin, coming in particular from Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Palestine, Lebanon, Libya and Algeria. Often middle class, many arrived on scholarships and decided to stay in the country after completing university studies in medicine, technology and other fields. There are estimated to be several hundred Czech converts, most of them the wives of men from so-called progressive regimes of the Third World, who moved here in the 1970s and 1980s. Other nationalities are also represented, including from the Balkans, the Caucasus, former Soviet Central Asia, Pakistan and Turkey.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Now, this being Monday, we're offering you our weekly summary of the sports news, this time with Jan Fellinger.
We begin with tennis, and Czech player Tomáš Berdych was defeated by Spain's David Ferrer at the weekend in the final in Doha. Ferrer stormed to an early lead 4-0 in the first set, only to see the Czech fight back. All the same, he managed to win the first 6-4. The second also went his way, but was a close 7-5. Prior to the final, Berdych had won 4 out of his 6 last meetings with Ferrer. In the biathlon, 26-year-old Czech athlete Veronika Vítková won her first individual World Cup event in Oberhof, Germany last Friday. She came first in the women's 7.5-kilometer sprint. Although she missed 2 targets, Vítková finished 8.8 seconds ahead of her nearest rival, Dorothea Wierer of Italy. Nicole Gontier, also of Italy, came third. Another Czech competitor, 2-time Olympic silver medal winner Gabriela Sokolová, came sixth. In football, there has been increased speculation that Czech goalie Petr Čech will leave London football club Chelsea in the summer transfer window. The British press has written that Chelsea has come round to the idea of trading the keeper ahead of next season. Earlier, there were reports that another London club, Arsenal, was ready to bid £7 million, but at the weekend, interest by the Gunners was denied by manager Arsene Wenger, possibly a tactical decision at this point. The Telegraph also suggested that interest from fellow Premier League club Liverpool was high. A question mark over the Czech goalkeeper's future at Chelsea emerged at the start of the current season when Belgian keeper Thibaut Courtois replaced him as the first choice in Premier League games. Czech has since then made only sporadic first-team appearances, although he did play at the weekend and managed to keep a clean sheet against Newcastle. Chelsea notched 2 for the win. Also in football, 5th in the league, meanwhile, are Arsenal, who cruised past Stoke with a 3-0 win. Tomáš Rosický played in his 4th match in a row after being sidelined earlier. The Czech, who captains the Czech national squad, set up Sanchez for a goal. And finally, Czech hockey club Liberec have earned a point in Sunday's match against Litvinov, with goalie Jan Lašák shining between the posts. Even so, he was unable to prevent his team's loss in overtime when Litvinov went on the power play. Until then, the game had been tied at 2 apiece. Lašák turned away 34 of 37 shots in the match, while his Tigers cranked out a mere 17 against their opponents. The winning goal came from Litvinov's Lukáš. And that's all the sport for today.
A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our in-depth interview of the week, in which we talk to interesting people. Today, Jan Valeška is a semi-retired translator, but for many years he worked here at Radio Prague, both before and after the fall of communism. He's Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
The name Jan Valeška will be familiar to very long-term listeners of Radio Prague. After a stint at the station's African service that began in the early 1970s, he returned to head the English department in the initial years after the Velvet Revolution. Valeška subsequently worked as a translator and 2 years ago published a huge dictionary of English phrasal verbs, as in act on, act up, act out, and so on. Before we discuss the book, which was 3 decades in the making, I first asked him what language Radio Prague's erstwhile African section had broadcast in.
It was called English Language Broadcast, the whole redakce, and it was divided into English service, American service, and African service. And I came in 1972, and actually that was the sad time of normalization. And the very good older people, English ladies who married Czechs and who worked there and who made excellent programs, they were sort of kicked out. And they needed new blood. And I was quite naive, and I said, yes, that's an opportunity of learning English, especially when there were still some Englishmen who sort of corrected our English and who taught us radio business. So I came here and I worked in the African service, but that was mostly politics and some reports on life in the Czechoslovakia.
What was specifically African about your broadcasts?
Whenever a Nigerian minister or a Ghanaian guy came to Prague, I hurried and I interviewed them about their impressions, and of course May Day celebrations we were sent out to sort of pick up some Negro or black guys, and we interviewed them, hoping they were English speaking. Well, the work was really, it was not specifically African. The programs were very much the same, the commentaries and the news, and there were some special features about agriculture, perhaps, and about FAO, the food organization, the United Nations. So that was African.
Was it enjoyable work?
No. Well, it was enjoyable for a guy who likes English. And, of course, I studied English. I finished and I was supposed to be an English language teacher. And I tried that at a secondary school somewhere in Eastern Bohemia. And the child were not motivated. There was nobody who cared about English at that time. Perhaps someone who liked the Beatles. So I said, do I want to spend my life teaching English to people who... And of course, we didn't know that communism would break down so easily and so early. It was 1970, so we had 25 years to go, and I was still young.
You came back here after the revolution in 1990 to the English section. Was that an exciting time?
Yes, that was very exciting. Actually, I left in 1986 because I was fed up with the atmosphere. And it was the time of going nowhere. You know, it was sort of a bog. And so I left and I worked in the Institute for Philosophy and Sociology, and I translated articles for them. And then I came back because, you know, there were changes and people were leaving and some were coming. And I think the people who stayed here thought that I would be something of a dissident. But still, it was very, very exciting because international interest in Czechoslovakia was great. Of course, the Velvet Revolution, Havel. And we had a group, there were people, Czech people who knew English quite well. Of course, the accent, I have a Czech accent.
You had a great accent.
No, but still, we tried very hard, and I was head of the English service. We still were divided into these sections, and there were very many young sort of Americans and Australians coming and saying, "Hey, I worked in the college radio, and would you like me?" So we tested them. We kept some of them. But I must say, this was the most exciting time I had in the radio those 2 years.
Was it hard for Radio Prague to adjust to the new situation, given that prior to 1990, it hadn't really been doing journalism?
I think it was very difficult, and especially radio was political matter. And unfortunately, because, you know, of all the changes, all the quick changes, the radio was, I'll say, occupied, but the main posts were taken by those reformed communists. So it wasn't that the change wasn't so quick, you know. And those reformed communists, they tried, of course, yes, you can broadcast whatever you want. But I think that the Czech radio, the internal service, was still adjusting very, very slowly. We had freedom. I mean, I said we'll broadcast about this and this and this and whatever, and then we'll talk about Havel and make a portrait of Havel. Actually, there was one great guy, David Vaughan, worked here, and he was a wonderful reporter. And then he made.
And he still works for us.
He still does. He still does. And he publishes books. So I would say the change was different in the foreign language broadcasts, because all of a sudden all the people who couldn't say what they wanted all the time, and it's true that we were not journalists in the right sense of the word, but we tried our best.
You later worked as a translator, and you're also the author of a dictionary of English phrasal verbs, which, for people who don't know them, are like take to, take up, take over, and so on. What prompted you to put together that dictionary?
Well, my work, I studied, I studied in the 1970s, and my professor was Ivan Poldauf, and I was interested in phrasal verbs, and he said, how about comparing Czech verbs with prefixes? Czech is very, very rich and very creative in this. And how about comparing it with English phrasal verbs? So I did, and I started collecting excerpts. I had 100 and 2,000, and I wrote my thesis, which was not very good. It was just comparison, quite mechanical. I'm not very proud of that. But that prompted me. And when I had so many extracts, and I took a book at Dickens, and I would look for phrasal verbs. That was terrible. And then I translated some books for Argo. It's a Czech publishing house, and the guy that said, so, all right. So I started working on that, and I wrote this book, which has about 1,000 pages. Unfortunately, phrasal verbs, these are very difficult. I have many English dictionaries, and they have phrasal verbs as well as prepositional verbs. You know, in my dictionary, I have things like take up, take down, but not allow for or apply for. And I have about 20 pages of an explanation what I regard as phrasal verbs. I have a list of particles that are there, about 32. The thing about this dictionary is because usually in dictionary you have come across, come about, come across, come off, but I have, my dictionary is divided according to particles. So you have first about, and all phrasal verbs I found.
Relating to about.
Yeah. And it also gives some idea about the semantics of that about is movement without any purpose, really. And so it's quite interesting, I think.
Phrasal
but
verbs,
it doesn't sell very much.
I guess it's a labor of love for you.
Yes,
thing.
That is.
How long did it take you, by the way?
Sorry?
How long did it take you?
Well, actually, about 30 years. But the real work, the putting the thing together, took me about 3 years.
Phrasal verbs are difficult for Czechs. Why are they so hard?
I think they are so hard because of the position of the particle. Take something up, take it off.
And the Czech equivalent is a prefix at the front of the verb.
Yes, sometimes like go away is odejít, swim away odplavat. So this is what I od is the prefix in Czech, which would be equivalent to away. But of course, phrasal verbs are most difficult not in the literal sense, but in the other sense.
This may be a strange question, but do you have any favorite phrasal verbs?
Well, my favorite phrasal verbs are, for instance, the use of away in the sense of starting, fire away, ask away. People normally, people don't know it. And I think that if my dictionary is valuable in anything, it's, I think, in this explanation of semantics of the particle. And you have number one, it means this, away means going away, and then things like playing away. That's also interesting that play away means play constantly, that it might mean play and try to get rid of something. He played away his moody ideas.
It also means to play away at another team's ground, not
yeah,
at your own
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So many. That's all there. Well, not all, but that's there.
Jan Valeška, former Radio Prague journalist, back in the studio. He was Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's One-on-One. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Danielle Azarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.